Namaskar. Today we're going to look back at the life of a great personality in the field of yoga. Around 2,500 years ago, there were two contemporaries born. One was the name Mahavir Jain, who later started the Jain religion. He was a great sage. And side by side in a near locale in the town of Lumbini, which is now modern-day Nepal, but then was India, another boy was born, and his name was Siddharth. Siddharth means one who achieves his goal. He was born into a Kshatriyan family, a warrior family. His father was a king, the great King Suddhodan, and his mother was a queen, Queen Maya Devi. Actually, she passed about 7 days after the young Siddharth was born. And they were from a Kshatriyan family, and their family name was Gautam. So the boy's name was Siddharth Gautam, who'd one day grow up to be the great Buddha. His father was a regal man, a king, and understood that the boy was quite astute and quite developed. And so he tried to satisfy his son with many, many worldly riches and goods, and tried to supply the young boy with everything that he would always need and always feel entertained and pampered within the kingdom. And the young Siddharth grew in that circumstance. Then, at one point, at the age of 29, this Siddhartha made his first few trips outside the kingdom. Before that, he hadn't been out. He made three successive trips, and the first one he saw an old person. And the second trip, he saw a sick person. And the third trip, he saw a corpse. And at that point, he felt he should reconsider the meaning of what he thought his life should be for. And he was contemplating, and then he made one fourth trip. And in that fourth trip, he saw one monk, or one sadhu, wandering ascetic. And so he saw those four, and when he came back after that fourth trip, then as the legend goes, he left that kingdom in the middle of the night, and at the age of 29, he left all the riches of that kingdom and walked into the forest and joined a group of yogic monks in the forest and lived a life of complete renunciation, living on just minimal things. And from there, Siddhartha, he lived with those monks for about 6 years, following all the tough disciplines of life, of fasting, of long meditation. One day, while he was in the town of Bodh Gaya — Bodh Gaya means enlightenment place — he sat down for meditation, and his mind couldn't concentrate. And legend or story goes that then he took a little bit of rice milk. It gave him the energy, and he took firm determination in his next meditation that he would not move, he would not change his spot until he got enlightenment. And that day, under the one tree where he sat for a long, long time, he became realized. And at that point, he thereafter was known as the Buddha. At this point, he was the age of 35 years old. He had spent 6 years living with those monks, and progressively over those years, he became quite adept and became more skilled in meditation and his teachers. And that all culminated into that fateful time when he sat for meditation in the state of Bihar in the town called Bodh Gaya. And that's where he achieved his great realization. And he decided to move around and teach others and to help relieve the world of suffering and to show others the right way. And he came up with varieties of teachings that became very, very helpful for humanity. His overall approach was known as Madhyam Marg, which means the middle path. And he did a couple very revolutionary, if not novel, things in order to propagate those teachings. One is that as opposed to using the old Sanskrit language, which really nobody, the common people, didn't understand, but that was what the intellectuals and the priests of those days used, he decided to use Magadhi Prakrit, or Pali, which in Pali means village, in Pali language, which is the language of the people. And so he spoke in a way that everybody could understand, and he gave his ideas in that way. And he faced a lot of backlash for that, because a lot of the rulers of the day and a lot of the people who were in power did not like the fact that he was bringing all these great teachings to the common people. He faced a lot of backlash, one for that reason, and another is that he started to impose injustices. One great injustice that he saw was that the people, or especially kings and great beings, were trying to please the gods, and in so doing they were doing these huge animal sacrifices. And they described that those days the rivers were just flowing with the blood of animals. And he said, this is not the right way, that we should follow the path of respecting the life of all, and that just as we love our lives, everybody loves their life. And so we should follow the philosophy of live and let live. So these were two very revolutionary, bold moves that he did. One was speaking in the language of the people, and two was going against some of the rituals that were practiced in the day. One of the main teachings that he gave that still are very, very helpful for us today is known as the Eightfold Path. And here we're just going to take a little bit of time to quickly go over those. The first one within this Eightfold Path was known as Samyak Darshan. Samyak means right or proper, and Darshan means philosophy. So Samyak Darshan means encouraging the development of a universal outlook, not any small and narrow-minded philosophy, but a broad philosophy that opens one's expanses and accepts all in a universal manner. So right philosophy, that's the first one of the Eightfold Path. Second one is Samyak Sankalp, and that means right determination, to take a strong stance whenever you do something in life, a commitment, a determination, a dedication to do something, to see something through to its natural end. And so Samyak Sankalp. The third is known as Samyak Vak. And here Buddha was talking that whatever we do, whatever we say, it all should be done in a sentient manner. Our thoughts, our words, our deeds, however we use our 10 motor sensory organs, eyes, nose, mouth, hands, fingers, toes, all these things, that they should be used in a proper way, guided by sentient mind, but guided by benevolent spirit. So that was the third one. The fourth is known as Samyak Aju, and it's called right or proper occupation. And this actually has two aspects to it. One is occupation in the form of our job, that our daily work, what we do in day, should be beneficial for society. Our job should contribute something proper to society. So those people who make contaminated foods or maybe engineer computer viruses or these types of things, that is not in the spirit of Samyak Aju, that we should do things that benefit and uplift society. That's one aspect. That's the physical occupation. And then there's the psychic occupation. Samyak Aju refers to that our mental pabulum, our thoughts in the mind should also be proper. They should be clean, benevolent. So there's physical work and mental work. Both should be good. Number five, Samyak Vyayam. It refers to right exercise in physical, psychic, spiritual way, that everything should be done in a proper way, and that this is where our yoga practices, our asanas, our meditation, kirtan, all these types of things should make the mind clean and pure and the body agile, strong. So this is good for our physical and mental existence. Number six is Samyak Karmant. This means that every work that gets started should be finished in the right way. Proper finishing. That's what Samyak Karmant means. If we take something out, put it away, and also more complicated works than that, that we should finish our things in a strong way. Number seven is known as Samyak Smriti. Smriti in Sanskrit means memory, and Samyak means right. And so right memory, and that means that we should remember our benevolent goal. We should remember our meditation. We should remember those things that move us further along the path and forget about those things that drift us from where we're trying to reach in life, that drift us from the goal. So all those are, whether it be our mantra and meditation or whatever it may be, those things that guide us to where we want to go in life, that's what we should remember. And last one is known as Samyak Samadhi. which means right ideation and meditation. And they say that when the meditation, one's meditation is so deep, then one forgets everything in this universe, including oneself. And the mind is not empty, but one is just remembering their stance of eternal peace. And you forget about all the little worries of life. So these are the Eightfold Path, which the great Buddha laid down 2,500 years ago. And as important and valuable they were then, they are equally, if not even more so, right now. That's a little bit about the life of Buddha. There's surely more to say about that. But this is a little bit of an introduction of his life, as well as one of his major contributions to society, known as Eightfold Path, or Madhyamarg, Middle Path. This podcast has been brought to you by Renaissance Yoga, www.renyoga.com. The sitar playing before and after the podcast was written and performed by Anthony Malatesta, www.musicamalatesta.com. Namaskar.